हरिहराय नम कृष्ण यादवाय नम यादवाय माधवाय केशवाय नम गोपाल गोविंद श्री मधुसूदन Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan Giridhari Gopinatha Madana Mohan Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Sita Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata Gita Shri Rupa Shri Sanatan Bhata Raghunatha Shri Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raghunatha Shri Sad Goswami ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai. So, Om Agyana Timirandasya, Gyananjana Shalakaya, Chakshuram Militam Jaina, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness, darkest ignorance. Yeah. And my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Omagyanati mirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur maritam jana tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So these are on page number one. I'll look there. This is the first is the preface. And the preface of a book tells us what is the purpose of the book. And what qualifications are expected from the reader. What are the qualifications of the author? Under what circumstance it was written? And the introduction then, you know, introduces the material. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki Shishi le petit som nachi ki da. Gokula taruni mandala mahite. So first off, this is called Mangala Arch and auspicious prayers in the beginning. Just by remembering the names of people like Acharya, Guru, Krishna, then we become very purified, you know. If I just say one name, for example, Genghis Khan, right? And it's like, oh. Creates a whole atmosphere like Genghis Khan. Yeah, okay. But here's, first off, Guru. And this is the idea that we can see everybody's born in ignorance, right? Babies can't even tell which way to push their food. One eyeball is going this way, this one eyeball is going that way. And so the parents are naturally the first gurus. You know, mother teaches the baby how to have binocular vision. And then different instruction. And then we come in contact with different, you know, philosophers, saints, you know, incarnations, right? You know, and we get more and more knowledge. You know, so that's the first verse, offering our respectful obeisances to our guru, great spiritual teachers. The next verse is very important. This is a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam. Stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kada mayam dadati sva parantikam. Because we're following Sri Krishna Chaitanya on the altar. Those are the icons on the left side there. You know? It's just like, you know, some people follow Martin Luther, some people follow St. Francis, you know, and then to go to Christ, you know, and then from Christ, yeah, we go through, you know, Moses, King David. What else? Somebody missing there. Solomon. Yeah, because, you know, Christ was accepting that. He was saying, I come from this house, I come from this lineage, I'm coming, I'm giving you the mature fruit of this whole thing. I'm not, you know, denying my ancestors, like that. They're all great, powerful people. Somebody told me that recently there was, I think some time ago, there was the head Hebrewist at the University of Tel Aviv, where his name is Rabin. He was making this comment that it appears that the Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs in the Bible, has elements that are based upon the Gita Govinda and Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. It's talking about love of God in a very emotional, you know, conjugal sense. And now they're discovering that apparently Solomon's boatyards weren't on the Mediterranean, they were on the Red Sea. And this starts to be very problematic, because if Solomon was a Hindu, then they're all in trouble. The Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims, they're all in trouble if Solomon was a Hindu, because he's the patriarch for every single one of them. So if that Solomon becomes a Hindu, they're all going down like that. We got one world with one religion that came from India. Joy. So very exciting times. Many archaeological discoveries. So we're following Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, but there are many groups, especially if you go to Bengal, you find many groups who claim to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even Ramakrishna was claiming to be, you know, follower or incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they have different deviations, according to our concern. Saki Baki, they dress up like, the men dress up with lipstick and with dresses, and they run around like, you know, being gopis and this kind of stuff. You know, okay. What other groups? Oh my God, this man is coming with a garland of Shakti. Okay, thank you. Wow, right there. Kind of, who's the guy? Merlin the magician. No, I can see. Wow. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, it goes down. Wow. Hi, Hare Krishna. Yeah. So, Saki Baki, what is it? Garanga Nagari. Nagari means a cool guy who's in all the newspapers. He went to the theater with this girl. His father is from this place. It's, you know, nice guy. He's kind of a young man about town, like that, you know. So this is Krishna. He's with all the beautiful young girls in Braja, and so many pastimes, a very excellent character, and so on. So they're discussing this group, claiming to be followers of Lord Chaitanya, addressing him as Garanga Nagari, how he's enjoying all these beautiful girls and stuff. Well, he is Krishna, but that's not his mood. And the mood of Lord Chaitanya is to be simply a servant of the gopis, to be absorbed in the mood of sannyas, renunciation, and these gross things. So it disturbs his mood like that. And some of the deviations are so gross you can't even talk about them really in class, like that stuff. Just really abominable things in the name of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. And because of that, our culture got a bad name in Bengal. You know, it's really, Bhaktivinoda Thakur lifted it back up, and really it was ISKCON was finally established. It really is, you know, as being a ethical, moral, no, you know, standard like that. So we're following Rupa Goswami on the altar below Lord Chaitanya's feet, six Goswamis, and Rupa Goswami is the leader. And he gave us so much literature to precisely define Lord Chaitanya's culture. So this verse is the one which directly certifies, you know, that Rupa Goswami is the authorized acharya after Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya mano bhistam stapitam jina bhutale svayam rupa kadama hyam dhati sva parantekam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? Rupa Goswami Prabhupada again. And after that, beautiful prayers to the other acharyas, to Lord Chaitanya, and to Radha and Krishna. Like that. But now we're on chapter 12, no? 12, 9. 9 times 12 is 108. Yeah. It's on page 622. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. So here it is. So, please repeat. Ata. If. Therefore. Chittam. Mind. Samadatum. To fix. Atha chittam samadhatum. Na shakshnoshi maistiram. Na, not. Shaknoshi. Okay, the first S with the line above it is palatal. It's a palatal S. With a line above it. Shak, shak. And with a dot under it is retroflex. Your tongue's got to touch the top of your mouth. So actually it is shaknoshi. Shaknoshi. And a different effect. Shaknoshi. You are able. Mai. Upon me. Krishna. Stiram. Steadily. Atta chittam samadhatum. Na shoknoshi mai stiram. Abhyasa yogena. By the practice of devotional service. Tataha. Then. Mam. Me. Krishna. Abhyasa yogena. Okay. Icha. Desire. This is an easy word to remember because sometimes we have a... You have an itching sensation. You have a desire to scratch it. Okay. Yeah. Aptum. To get. Danam jaya. O conqueror of wealth. Arjuna. Abhyasa yogena tato. Mami chaptum dananjaya. Atta chittam samadhatum. Na shaknoshi mai stiram. Abhyasa yogena tato. Mami chaptum dananjaya. Bolie. Atachyatam samadhatum na shoknoshi maistiram abhyasi yogena tato mami chaptum dananjaya atachyatam samadhatum Na shaknoshi mai stiram. Abhyasa yogena tato. Mami chaptum dananjaya. What, ladies? Yeah. Atta chittam samadhatum. Na shaknoshi mai stiram. Asa yogena tato mami chaptum dananjaya achachitam samadhatum nashaknoshi mai stiram avasya yogena tato Mami Chapunatandaya. Translation. My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, you will develop a desire to attain me. So, in this section, Krishna is giving a series of different levels, of different alternatives of religious development. And in the previous text, he started in the previous text. And here he's describing the same thing we have in the Bible. You know, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your spirit. So you can look at text 8 there, previous text. Maya eva manadatsva mayi bhudim niveshaya niva shishyasi maya eva Atar Urdhvam Nashang Shayaha. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always, without a doubt. In today's text, my dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. And in text number 10, if you cannot practice the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me. Because by working for me, you will come into the perfect stage. God. If, however, you're unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act, giving up all results of your work, and just try to be self-situated. If you cannot take to this practice and engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge, but better than knowledge is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits, and for by such renunciation one can attain peace of mind. So describing different people on different levels, and hopefully we can find ourselves, you know, in here somewhere. You know, what is our position? You know? But I guess mostly, you know, an initiated devotee is somebody who's actually taken this process of the principles of bhakti yoga. In the purport, text number 9, in this verse, two different processes of bhakti yoga are indicated. The first applies to one who has actually developed an attachment for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by transcendental love. And the other is for one who has not developed an attachment for the Supreme Person by transcendental love. For this second class, there are different prescribed rules and regulations one can follow to be ultimately elevated to the stage of attachment to Krishna. Bhakti yoga is the purification of the senses. At the present moment in material existence, the senses are always impure, being engaged in sense gratification. Yeah. But by the practice of bhakti yoga, these senses can become purified. Yeah. And in the purified state, they come directly in contact with the Supreme Lord. Wow. In the material existence, one may be engaged in some service to some master, but I don't really lovingly serve my master. I simply serve him to get some money. And the master also is not in love. He takes a service from me and pays me. So there is no question of love. But for spiritual life, one must be elevated to the pure stage of love. That stage of love can be achieved by practice of devotional service performed with the present senses. This love of God is now in a dormant state in everyone's heart. And their love of God is manifested in different ways, but it is contaminated by material association. Now, the heart has to be purified of the material association. And that dormant natural love of Krishna has to be revived. That is the whole process. Right? What is it? Heart has to be purified of material association, and dormant natural love has to be revived. To practice the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, one should, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, yeah, follow certain principles. Okay, one should rise early in the morning, take bath, enter the temple room and offer prayers and chant Hare Krishna. Then collect flowers to offer to the deity. Cook foodstuffs to offer to the deity. Take prasadam, and so on. There are various rules and regulations which one should follow, and one should constantly hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from pure devotees. This practice can help anyone rise to the level of love of God, and then he is sure his progress into the spiritual kingdom of God. This practice of bhakti yoga under the rules and regulations with the direction of a spiritual master will surely bring one to the stage of love of God. Okay. Any comments? Questions? Any doubts? Okay. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. So, well, so actually, as I'm reading this, I'm seeing how Prabhupada is paraphrasing many different texts like that. You know, this love of God is now dormant in everyone's heart. You know, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunaya Shravanadi Shude Chite Karadevudaya. Nitya Siddha, eternal perfection. Krishna Prema, love of God. Sadhya Kabunaya. It's not something you get from some other source. It's already there. It's like recovering from amnesia. You already have a family. You already have a home. You already have your clothes. You already have your job, your profession. You already, you have to get them. Amnesia has made you just forget all these, right? And actually, the process for curing amnesia may find the same elements, that they take you to places that you're familiar with. They give you garments and things that are very intimate with your different psychological functioning. Talk to people, you know. But you can't do it too fast. You know, the psychologist brings some lady in, and you say, "Who are you?" She says, "I'm your wife." You got to take your time. You know, start off with general things, and by this association. The first thing is we don't have an emotional reaction, but it causes us to become detached from material attachment. Right? Detached from material attachment. So the first result of following the rules and regulations given by an acharya, and so we accept, Prabhupada is saying, but Prophet Muhammad, may his name be blessed, our Lord Christ Jesus, Buddha. So many acharyas in the world giving a very practical process. Now, if you're going to be a Muslim, there are certain things you have to do. Otherwise, you're not a Muslim. You're not following the Prophet. You have to bow down, what is it, five times a day? Do namaz, five times a day to Mecca. You have to go to Mecca, possible during your lifetime. During Ramadan, you have to fast. You have to give charity in a certain way like that. So certain things, there is sadhana, which is prescribed, And same way in Christianity, you have to observe the Mass, you have to fast during 40 days of the Lent, and the different acharyas are giving different adjustments. For example, in these European countries, was the order of Saint Benedict. Saint Benedict was very famous for his order of organizing his monasteries. It's very interesting to read in terms of ISKCON management. Because they were comparing it to the Egyptian Christians. They were much more austere. Of course, it's warmer weather, too. Egyptian Christians, they should take clothes, the monks, they should take clothes only that are discarded and lying in the street, and they should be in such a condition that nobody else would want them, right? You should only be dressed in clothes that nobody else would want, like that. And bed, forget it, mattress, forget it, blanket, forget it, lying down on the ground in your monastery like that, and fasting, eating, very austere. So Saint Benedict had a different arrangement. I think everybody should have two or three sets of clothes. There are two meals a day with a maximum of four hot items. And I think I forgot what it was. It was like 1 kilo of bread or something like that. It was like very precise, Yeah, but everybody had to do, I think it was at least 4 hours of physical work a day, like that. And then he had certain hours all the way through midnight and stuff for different prayers and stuff like that. So his was a much more like social karma yoga type process like that. Yeah? One time some devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, if people follow Jesus Christ, are they going to go back to the spiritual world? And Prabhupada said, yes, if they follow his instructions. And the devotees said, well, how will they know what his instructions are? And he said, some priest will tell them. And the priest may not even know what he's saying like that. He's repeating the words like that, but somebody else is listening because he wants to follow. And then it's there. The main thing is you apply a little bit, right? Tesham satesham evanu kamparta mahama ahama gyana jam tamaha nasiyami amabhavasto gyana dipena bhaspata. Then Krishna will destroy our ignorance. He'll enlighten us within the heart. We'll know what to do like that. That happens very, very early. You're just following a few principles, following them, and you start to become detached from this materialism. We had a nice program. Actually, I'm coming to three months in South America. And at one point, we did a program in Mar de Plata. It's on the east coast of Argentina. And actually, if you go directly east from there, you pass south of Africa. So very far south. But we base it on light of the Bhagavat, you know, interfaith dialogue, the frog. You know. And one very nice, you know, Jewish scholar, two Muslims, one Sufi, another, and they brought their communities with them. And then one Padre Hugo Segovia, very nice older Catholic, you know, priest like that. It was very nice. It was really intense. It was four nights, and everybody was coming back the next night. You know, it felt such a feeling because everybody agreed. You know, the Sufi people, they started off with dhikr, which is chanting the names of God together, very melodiously, very rhythmic, and you could see they were appreciating this. They were getting very strong benefit out of their sincerity. Then after the Muslim, this Sufi Muslim person was talking about, you know, different religions and what is religion. And he gave a very nice analogy that's like a mountain. We all want to go to the top, right? To meet God. But there may be different roads, you know? Not that all, you know, only one road. And some people may be walking, some people may this and that, you know? And actually you're saying, well, all the other roads merge into my road. It's like, okay, Christians are okay, Muslims are okay, but in the end we know that only Hinduism is the real thing like that, you know? I said, no, maybe all the way up to God before you realize unity like that. But you can also see if the pathway is going up or not. You know, some may go up a little bit and come back down. They don't go to God. And he said also we shouldn't become attached to the formalities of the religion, forgetting what the purpose is. He said you have a nice car maybe like that and have a few sandwiches, a little coffee, Muslim, you know. To go back to God, but don't be attached to all the sandwiches and the coffee. Those are just to give you a little strength to drive your vehicle and stuff like that. You know, so very nice realizations. And also, he was going on talking about the materialism in this world. Everybody was accepting that the world has become just too materialistic. And then one night specifically, we were talking about homosexuality, abortion. And poverty. And that became very serious, you know, about the things, you know. And pretty much everybody, you know, everybody, they all were saying that, you know, we shouldn't be fanatical anti-homosexual people and things like that. Everybody has their situation. There's a certain reason why people are in a certain situation like that. And you got to know them, you know. But he also said that as far as Islam is concerned, you cannot be a Muslim and a homosexual. It's like that. There's just no way. But Muhammad has very nice arrangement for everybody that if they want to, they can make progress and purify their lives like that. So many people in different situations, you know, because of the condition of the heart. I always quote this, our good Carl Jung. He was with the Hopi Indians one time in the United States. And they're very, very famous for their good emotional adjustment, psychological adjustment, very happy culture. So he was talking. And he said, you know, sometimes when I have different thoughts in my head, you know, and all the Indians like looked at each other and kind of like, you know, moved away like that, you know. So he said, well, did I say something wrong? And they said you had thoughts in your head. Only a madman has thoughts in his head, right? A sane man has thoughts in his heart, right? There's a black poetess from South Africa, and she says, a woman thinks with her belly, like that. Yeah. A man, he thinks with his heart. And a white devil, he thinks with his head. How many white devils here? Or devilesses? Yeah, you think, where are you? Everybody kind of think, well, I'm here, like that, like that, somewhere like that. But that's just a conditioning. Different cultures don't condition like that. Somebody is even more crazy. They'll identify with their hands or something, or their, you know, the clock with the beer bottles like that. Some they go to the bar and they drink until they absorb the clock and the beer bottle sign going around behind the bar like that. You know, so you can become totally absorbed in the sense objects like that. You know? Or else you can become absorbed in your head. You know, that's a mode of passion. With a mode of goodness, we're here. Yeah, I have thoughts in my head. I have experiences in my senses, but it's not me. I can hang on to them. I can let them go. I can make adjustments like that. You know? So that's because of the condition in the heart. Because if the condition in the heart is Ishwara aham, aham bogi, siddham balavan suki, Bhagavad Gita, this is the demoniac condition. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. I am powerful. I am perfect. Right? Right. Every morning. I am the controller. I am powerful. I am perfect. I am surrounded by aristocratic friends and relatives. You know, this man was my enemy and I have killed him. My other enemy will also be killed. I will give some charity and this way I will enjoy and rejoice. It's in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 16. No? So clear. So somebody else has a different attitude. There's also one black lady. She's a general. Maybe she's retired now. She was a brigadier general in the U.S. Army. Probably nobody here would want to like mess with her. She's like, solid. Yeah. So, and she said, service to other people is the price we have to pay for occupying space in this world. Nothing else. Just because you're occupying space, you right away you have to give somebody service to other people like that. Yeah. So it's a different attitude. It's not exactly religious, but it's more than I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, and everybody should die for me. You know, so that's the heart. It's the attitude. You know, I was ago last Sunday night went to the airport at 9 o'clock, checked in at 1 o'clock in the morning, and flew from Lima to San Francisco. Got there, I missed a devotee, he missed me, finally found him, went to San Jose, gave him his Bhakti Shastri examination. Giriraj Maharaj was there. He wanted to come over and see us. He came, and 9 more people came because of that whole program. Back in the aluminum hot dog the next morning, and flew to Texas. And we were there for 3 nights. Very quick program, working on their Bhakti Bhai Bhava program, that kind of thing. And also we went to 2 programs on religion and health. And one was at the University of Houston Medical Center, which has something like 11,000 patients in 8 different hospitals. It's like, you know, modern places. Yeah. So the program was being presented by the cardinal, one of the cardinals of the United States there. It was actually nice. You could kind of talk about Brahman, you know, and spirit and the body like that. But the whole place was just full of doctors, everything else like that, listening. So then we got back in the airplane again. 1 hour late, took off from Houston, 1 hour late. I'm sitting there waiting. Am I going to make my connection in Newark? You know, am I going to make it to Brussels or not? So we got on the airplane. They were late loading the baggage. And finally, we took off, you know, and started catching up. Okay, I'm going to make it, you know. But then the wind changed in Newark, you know, New Jersey, New York. We had to go into a holding pattern. I'm going around in circles over Washington, D.C. like that. I'll never make it, you know. So finally they let us out of the holding pattern first, and the pilot's coming down like that, and the plane shaking like that. Maybe I'll never make it to Brussels. I'll die before I make it to Brussels. Like, it was really actually, this, I could see where they were taking them one at a time. It was going down like that, you know. So finally he got us on the ground. Then I had to run from gate number 20 to gate number 121. I had something like, it was like 5 minutes before they were supposed to be taking off, or 10 minutes. But the other guy, 2 other people also, one lady and one man, and we're all running like that. Like that, gate number 20, gate number 30, gate number 40. And you hear the announcement, you know, final call for flight number 60 for Brussels. You know, all passengers will be so and so. So funny, sat down, you know. And we took off, and it's all night in the dark, like that, right? It's like some kind of psychology experiment with rats or something. You just sit in the dark all night. You know? With that was a Harry Potter and, you know, Walt Disney, the Little Pony or something like that, like, going on around you, chicken or fish, like that. It was very bizarre. It's like that. And then finally you land in Brussels. And I'm always waiting for these immigration guys to say, why are you here? I don't know. It's like that. I've forgotten. It's just like that time. It's like, you come off those airplanes, just, you know, they must have some strange things happening. You know? So funny we're here. I've been through 4 different time zones, and, you know, backwards and forwards too, not just forwards. Like backwards, back 3, up 2, up 1, up 2, like that. We're here. And so on. Yeah. So the whole, but my point is, attitude, when the airplane's landing, it has 3 attitudes to correct. How does it go? Pitch, roll, and yaw. And so when this thing's coming down, you know, the pilot's got to make sure it has the right attitude towards the runway. Otherwise, it would be a very, very bad reaction if he has a bad attitude towards the runway like that, you know, so on. So that's buddhi, that's intelligence, that's what heart is. It's not thinking. Thinking comes after that, after you've established your perspective, after you've established your, you know, view on life like that. So that's, we don't talk about it much, Western psychology. But Buddha was talking about that. He didn't go to the spiritual platform, but he's talking about buddhi. You know, somebody asked Buddha, it was a very controversial point. And you know, they said, Buddha, some people say there's a God and a soul, and some people say there isn't. What do you say, Buddha? Like that. And Buddha says, you should find out. Very clever. Asshole. Yeah. But that's all he did. He never talked about it, pretty much. Yeah. The second sermon of Buddha is called the non-existence of the soul, Buddha, the non-existence of the soul sermon. You can look at it on the internet. But not one time does he ever say there's no soul. That's like, he says the mind is false, the body is false. They all go, the society is false. But he never says the soul is false. And even when they say, I went big professor of Buddhism, he said, even when the Buddhists, they say there is no Atma, they're not referring to what you call the Atma, which is a Sanskrit term. They're referring to mind. Atma means endeavor, mind, and the soul. And 80% of them, they just don't think about that. You know? They're talking about the mind, these kind of things. And we have to also go beyond these, you know? Which we agree. You know? So this is the process. It's probably saying, by practicing the regular principles of bhakti yoga, one should, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, follow certain principles. Right? This is Rupa Goswami's first principle in Vaidhi Bhakti, is accept an acharya, like that. Somebody who knows God. Yeah? And again, he can be like Prabhupada. He can be present through his literature, through his society, or it can be, you know, right in front of you, physically. You know? But the real thing is to accept him and hear from him. Hear from him, like that. And then by that, the heart becomes purified of these attachments to different things. And then you can begin to wake up. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Sadhya Kabunaya, Shravanadi, Kokarose Udaya. Sintya Krishna Siddha Krishna Prema, Sadhya Kabunaya, Shravanadi, Shude Chitta. The consciousness, Chitta, Shude Chitta, becomes purified. Karase, it makes the soul wake up. To the beginning, hearing about Krishna talking about him, I can't understand a thing what the guy said, but it was interesting, it was purifying. It was like, yeah, in the beginning we can't understand anything, but it's purifying. We feel, yeah, like that. Yeah. And then after that we begin to understand, intellectually it starts to be very interesting. Wow, everything's very consistent. It's a way to look at life. Practical. And then after that we start to, you know, realize Krishna's qualities, Krishna's sound of Krishna's flute, his ankle bells, his sense of humor. And he's very funny. Yeah, this one Jewish guy made this point. He said, you Christians are so, you have such a dry idea about God. he said he has a very, very great sense of humor like that, you know. And otherwise a lot of things are very inexplicable, like camels and zebras, right? Zebras. Why are zebras that color? So they can blend into the environment? There's no like world like a black stripes like that. The zebra just kind of like freezes and nobody sees them. It's obviously a joke. Oh, okay. You know? So many weird forms of animals. Just they know, you know, evolutionary adaptation. You know? So then, okay, God has a sense of humor. He also feels insulted. You know, Lord Varaha, is it Varaha, right? Because the earth was sunk into the ontological Garbhodaka ocean thing, ontological thing. And so in this mucky place, the proper form to get it is a pig, because a pig can go down there and use his nose to get it out. So Krishna incarnate is a giant boar, like that. But there's a world of difference between Lord Varaha and the ordinary village hog, like that. He was celestial in every way. So he went down, he picked the earth up, and she was, you know, saved. But then Hiranyaksha, this great demon, he and his brother were the ones who put her there. He said, stop, O amphibious beast. You will not take the earth from us, you know, so easily without a fight. You know? And so Lord Varaha was insulted by this. Actually, he was. He felt, you know, he's thinking, wow, I look really good. You know, I said, have you ever seen a pig they have this kind of high heel shoe arrangement, like that. They have this kind of hair thing in the back. It actually looks like, you know, like somebody who really likes to be stylish, you know, pigs and boars like that. So Lord Varaha was thinking he looked, you know, really good, muscular and stuff. And this guy came along and insulted him like this, you know, called him an amphibious beast, you know. So he felt, you know, syllabus, yeah. So he responded by saying, "True it is that we are beasts of the jungle, and we are used to killing dogs like you." So they exchanged insults for some time, and they fought, you know, like that. You know? So yeah, he has always, if we're purified, we can begin to appreciate this. It's more than just fairy tales. It's actually very deep, you know, like that. So this is the, how's it go? Shimvatas Vakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantas Dohi Abhadrani Vidyutnotis Shritsatam Shimvatam No, Nasta Shimvatas Vakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. That's what I'm looking for. Pumso Mahapumso Dharma Swai. Got it there, yeah. So it's a linear, if you know how. It's a linear access file. Many memories are linear access, not random access. So I've got to get the first word. Svai pumsam paro dharmo yato. Yato? Which will take us. He's not giving the highest religion. He's giving that which will take us to the highest religion. It's the same thing. Svai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti rahoshaja. Yeah? So same process. The previous verse says, if you got this, just do it. If you can fix your mind upon God in ecstasy at every moment, just taking whatever, you know, food comes by nature's arrangement, and always glorifying Him, singing, talking, you know, just absorbing yourself in different scriptures and association of saintly people. Okay, if you can't do that, then follow these rules and regulations given by an acharya, because they know what'll work. Huh? I mean, Muhammad, he was preaching to a certain kind of people at a certain time. It was a really tough environment like that. Still is. You know? One devotee, his father was a colonel in the Turkish army, Jayadas, and he has this question, right? Maybe you know the answer. Who can smoke more cigarettes than a Turk? Two Turks. Yeah. So he's talking about his own culture. But that's it. It's a very tough environment. You know, it's like, you know, Arjuna wasn't like, you know, getting ready for the battle, smoking a cigarette like that, you know. Hey, accept me to that army, Krishna. Like that, you know. It makes you gross. You know, nicotine does not do much to, well, it actually stimulates your mental processes like that. But also, generally speaking, it also dulls your senses like that and so on. So different effects, you know. So, you know, different time, different places in the Bible. The Old Testament talks about one guy who was traveling with his servant and one concubine, and they're going across to Israel. It's getting late, and they saw one village in the distance. They started going there to find some place to take shelter for the night. And they came into the court, the plaza, the center of the village, and people were coming in from their fields and looking at them with hard looks and stuff, and nobody was looking very friendly. Funny, one old man came by and said, "Quick, come with me, and I'll take you to my house. People in this village are very dangerous. You know, they'll rob you and they'll kill you if they see you." So he took him to the house, but one person saw them. He told everybody. So after some time, everybody came outside of his house, started drinking and getting more and more rowdy. And they were saying, "Oh yeah, old man, shove those people out there so we can take care of them properly. Show them our hospitality properly, or else we'll burn your house down." You know. So finally, they pushed the concubine out. And the crowd then became distracted by raping her, you know, from robbing everybody else. And finally left in the morning, and she crawled up on the doorstep and died. And the guy came out in the morning, took her body with his servant and went and left. And then it turned out that she was the daughter of some, you know, king of some other tribe. And so he came back with his soldiers to kill everybody in the village that had done this, plowed the ground with salt. And then, but they were friends in another village, and they came back and attacked the other guys. So it says, "And there was no king in Israel that year, and everyone did just what they wanted to do." Right? And so now we're going to send our Sankirtan party there. Are you bold, Prabhu? Yeah. And so, you know, Christ came and Muhammad, and the prophets did wonderful work. My God, you know. But they could only do so much. Certain kind of people. So there are different acharyas then give different rules and regulations for different people. And if you look at the pathway, just examine the whole thing, yeah, if they follow the pathway properly, they're going to go to the same destination we are. Yeah? And they'll, at a certain point, they'll become purified. They'll appreciate, you know, the vegetarian diet and stuff like that. Yeah? But the main thing, Prabhupada's saying, is to get an acharya, somebody who knows the pathway, who's giving a process, and then follow it. And don't forget the purpose is to reawaken our natural emotional love for God. From the spiritual platform.
Okay.
Any questions now? Yeah, yeah. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Well, there are different places, too. You know, for example, maybe one area is all a party area, bars, all this kind of stuff. But about 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, it all stops. And so that time of day, that place is more elevated than maybe someplace else, you know, at a different time of day. So there are like, you know, it's kind of like that, you know. Yeah, it's always, again, it's actually, that's why Rupa Goswami is describing these things. It's just like they're waves on the shore. They come up and they hit, you know, then maybe it's going up, it's going back, they hit each other, and there's some rocks in the pool and stuff. So it's like, it's complicated. But the general thing is downhill. It's like as the sun goes more and more south, it gets more and more cold. But there may be warm days, there may be things like that. You know? And different places have different reactions. You know, historically, pretty much since the time of St. Thomas Aquinas, he took up Aristotle's, you know, ideas on like analysis and all this kind of stuff. So that entered into the West, and we started putting everything in order and living like orderly life and learning science. And that's reflected back into all over the world, pretty much, like that in India, Navanyaya. So now it's kind of like this mechanistic, controlled thing, and so on. So different philosophies predominate, but in the end, they're not like theistics. So they can't hold, they don't satisfy anybody. You know? So it's kind of like a, you know, some reasonable environment in some ways. That's why actually Prabhupada's books, other acharyas don't talk so rationally. You know, Prabhupada's Rupa Goswami also, everything's very systematic. Rupa Goswami, as you take our seminar next few days, we'll talk about this. But he was presenting his ideas when Navanyaya was prominent. Nyaya means logic, very much like Aristotle. And so he had to present bhakti, right, in a very analytical sense. So you find that bhakti rasamrita sindhu is extremely, even that word is just not enough, you know, analytical. We break it down. If you put everything he has into it in different like connections and stuff like that, it would be like this unbelievable, you know, analysis, you know, like that. And they all function. Different kinds of sentiments, relationships, feelings like that. You know, so this environment, if you explain things that way, then people can appreciate it. Yeah? You know? But other times you have to need, you know, you need something else. You know? Another way to appreciate it. Yeah? So, you know, proper, you know, Krishna said proper, certain times, certain place. Yeah. Yeah. Hunandra Pulenda Pulkasha. What's the word? Shamba Abira Shamba Yavana Kashadayaha. Ye Che Ye Cha Anye Ye Cha Anye P. Ye Che Anye Ye Cha Anye Papa. Something like that. Ye Cha Anye Papa Yarapa Shraya Shrayaha Shujanti Tasmaya Prabhavishnave Namaha. Yeah, Sukadeva Goswami, when he's starting to present Bhagavatam, he says the Huns, you know them, right? Yeah. Eastern Germany, part of Siberia, Hunandra, people from Andhra, Polinda, Polkasha, the Yavanas, the Turks, and all those addicted, all those addicted to all kinds of sinful activities, taking some poor animal, taking her babies away from her, killing them to eat them, you know. A horrible thing, you know. So many things, you know, addicted to all these things. If they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord, you know, who are empowered representatives, they can become purified, you know, because God is so powerful. See, he specifically says that. Also, Mother Kapila Dev, at the end of all of his presentations, his mother says, Yannamadeya Shravanado Kirtanad Yad Pravanad Yad Smaranat Kapi Api Kwachit Svado Pi Sadaya Savanaya Kalpate Kutapunaste Bhagavan Nudarshanat. I memorized these verses from my Bhakti Bhai Baba. So I'm using you all as guinea pigs here. Yeah. They're pretty good. But yeah, it's nice. But she says the same thing. She says, what's to speak of seeing you, God? You know, simply those people who hear about you, who talk about you, who offer their obeisances, who worship you, they immediately, because even if they're born in the family of dog eaters, okay, how many people are born in the family of dog eaters here? Now we're including hot dogs. Well, yeah, some sausages, yeah. Who knows what's inside those things, practically speaking, what's inside those things, you know. Yeah, we're born in these horrible families. You know, you see actually gentle, peaceful cultures. So, you know, he says, immediately they become sadaya, immediately qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices like that. And so, yeah, it's like, yeah, if we take shelter of the representatives of God. Mamcha yobhi acharina bhakti yogina sevade saguna mambi partha vipashu. There's so many verses, no? Like that. Yeah? It's very fortunate. Otherwise, our future is very black. It's very horrible. Yeah? Yeah. So we can do it. Yeah. And especially by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, right? Lord Chaitanya is giving the medicine, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, holy names, no? Yeah. So we're taking shelter of him. We can become qualified. Yeah, we should do it quickly, right? Here we go out, we're making advance, we get stuck in something for 4 or 5 years and wake up and go back, you know. Yeah, I want to see a revolution here in Radhadesh. I want to see it now. Yeah, okay, right on. So, okay, Maharaj. Brahmanda Brahmatekon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lada Bij. And there he's talking about bhakti as the actual manifestation, activity like that. Yeah. And it's already there, but it's not manifest. Yeah. So the bija, the seed, is this experience. You get something. You see some. And one devotee actually became, you know, she had a devotee, became in charge of the Gurukula in our children's school in Texas, Rupa Raghunath. And he said he was working for General Electric. You know, they manufacture weapons to kill people, big, you know, industrial dynamos. He was just, you know, ordinary materialistic person. It wasn't bad, but it was just like, you know, matter is all there is, like that, you know? And so the company, which many companies do, they were just having different people come, you know, for the emolument or enlightenment of their employees as part of the program, you know? And so they had somebody come who was a follower of Edgar Cayce. And Edgar Cayce is this mystic in America many, many years ago. And he would predict the future, cure people, Christian guy. So Rupa Raghunath said that was the beginning. He suddenly realized, hey, there's more than this gross thing. I mean, nobody can tell the future. Nobody can cure people by touching them. At that point, he was like, but it's there. And it has to be from some previous thing like that. So he became attracted to literature like that and stuff, and he very, very quickly woke up. So by contact with the mode of passion, the prema becomes contaminated. So the contact is the seed. It's the same thing. And the seed is the contact like that. It's how the actual contact occurs. But now it's the opposite. We're coming in contact with the seed of the prema like that. Yeah. Yeah. It's a big question. The origin of the jiva. So, final comments, questions? Shall Prabhupada ki? Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki? Back home, back to Godhead. Ah. Sign me up.